All right, you got your Bible with you this morning, or your device or whatever. There's a lot of God's word in our message today. That's probably a pretty good thing, right? But turn to Psalm 139. I think that's a good place to have you turn to. We're continuing to talk about our family values, continue to just go through some of the values of the community of faith that's known as Rev City. And God is everything that we're called to do. Revealing Jesus to revive people to life is all about connecting them to a relationship with God. And it's also about connecting them to a spiritual family in which they can be built up to become the people of God that God's created them to be. But how many of you know that a lot of times we don't experience and receive what we need from our earthly families? And so the values of this church family are God's word. And they're found in God's word. And the idea is that when people connect to what God's doing here, they discover the affirmation that they need to be built up into who God's created them to be. So we're talking about family values. And one of the family values is dream big and start small. God has a big plan. God has a big dream. God has a vision for every believer's life. God has a big plan, a big dream, a big vision for this church. But the pathway to the new, to the next, to the more of God for you and for the person next to you and for this church is always taking the first step. It's always taking the next step. It's faithfulness with the now of God, what God's already calling us to, what God's put in your hand today, faithfulness with that, and the willingness and obedience to begin to seek God and hear God and step out in faith to take the first steps. And the next steps, that's always the pathway to the bigger thing that God has for your life. So a value of our church family is we'll dream big and we'll start small. We truly believe that in Jesus' name, we can change the city of Lawrence. We truly believe that as the people of God begin to turn back to God and cry out to him and put him first and restore him to his rightful place in our lives and in our homes and in our churches, we truly believe that a nation can even be revived in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to dream big about what God can and will and desires to do in our lives and through us as a church. But as we dream big, we won't let the magnitude of our vision, we won't let the size of it intimidate us. We'll say, okay, God, you're calling us to dream for and believe towards this. What's the first step? What's the next step? Listen, some of you this morning, you need to hear this in the context of your own life and your own family and your own marriage or your own finances. God has a good plan, a good dream for that place, for that thing. And this morning, I believe God wants to begin to come and he wants to visit you to remind you about some things. And then he wants to bring hope to you to say, all right, I've called you to this. This is what's possible. This is my heart for you. This is what's possible for that situation. And here's the first step to take. Here's the next step to take. Here's the first call to make. Here's the first way to begin to walk towards and walk out what I desire to do in your life. So the value is dream big and start small. Proverbs 29:18 says that where there is no vision, the people perish. And there's an identity crisis in the world today. We have never been so busy and less fulfilled. We've got more to do, and yet people are struggling. There's a sense of frustration. There's a sense of longing. Who am I, and does my life really matter? Listen, even good Christian people are going through life just surviving. When the heart of God is that we would walk so closely with him and so aware of his hand upon our life and so filled with the empowerment of his Holy Spirit that we would thrive in life. Come on, how many of you have ever been in a place in life where you felt like you were just surviving to get to another day? I don't know about you, but I know I've been in that place, and I know what it's also like to live in a place where I'm thriving because I'm aware that God is with me, and he's for me, and he's called me to something, and he's created me for something. Where there is no vision, people perish. Where there is no idea and awareness of God's hand on your life and God's call upon your life and God's purpose for your life, you're not really thriving. You're just surviving. Listen, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They're plans to prosper you and not to harm you. They're plans to give you a hope and a future. Ephesians 2, verse 9 and 10, he says, he has created us. God has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the things he planned for us long ago. How long ago? Before the foundation of time. How long ago? When you were in your mother's womb. He created you for a plan. He created you for a purpose. You guys have this picture that I sent for you guys to show. We just got this a few days ago. I think it was on Monday. We went over to the doctor, and we got to see someone that God's bringing into our life. Yeah, That is our son, who we believe God's called us to name Evan, which means God is gracious, or God's gracious gift. And if you knew, if maybe some of you have heard the testimony of what God's done there, Evan was not supposed to be. According to the medical community, Evan was never supposed to come about. But how many of you know that what seems impossible for man is not impossible with God? Amen? So how long ago did God have a purpose and a plan for me? Even before that. And the psalmist, there we are, Psalm 139. If you're there, say I'm there. Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16 said this, you made. The psalmist is recognizing his creator, and he's saying, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. You know what I want to ask you to do? Go back, as I read this scripture, the rest of it, go back and put that picture up again. Is it there? Yeah. I normally see it back there. You guys that sit back here, I'm reading stuff off of the screen back here sometimes. I'm not staring you down all the time, all right? I promise. Hey, you guys back there. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. How did he know? Listen, David didn't have access to sonograms. And this is just a normal 2D one, you know. Now they have 3D or 4D or whatever, you know. I mean, they show you these amazing images of what God's knitting together and putting together on the inside of the mother's womb. And he says, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born, every day of my life. Look at your neighbor and say, every day was recorded in your book. Every moment, look at your other neighbor who was your second choice and say, every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Listen, I don't know what the plans of God are for little Evan, our God's gracious gift, but God knows. As God is forming and fashioning, isn't that amazing what God's doing? And how brilliant God is as a creator, and how amazing his craftsmanship and his workmanship is. He's knitting him together. And he's already got a plan and a purpose. I don't know all the things that God's going to call Evan to do and to be and to accomplish and to build God's kingdom, but God knows. And it's the reason that God is building his little life, because God has a heart towards him and a plan for him. And it's a good plan, declares the Lord. It's a plan to prosper him, not to harm him. It's a plan to give him hope and a future. Listen, God has a vision. God has a purpose. God has a dream for your life. But here's the unsettling truth. The graveyard is filled with unfulfilled potential and unrealized dreams. Because at some point there was hope that was deferred. There was a lie that was believed. There was a deception that entered in, and people held back, shrunk back, didn't believe the calling of God, didn't embrace the purposes of God, or didn't pursue the presence of God to empower them to begin to step out, to take the first step or the next step towards the dream, the plan, the vision, the promise of God. Zechariah 4, verse 10 says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord delights to see the work begin. There's a big dream. There's a good plan. There's a hope and a future for your marriage, your family, your finances, your kids, your heart, your mind, your calling, your work, all the things that God's called you to. There's a big plan. There's a big vision. It's a good plan. It's hope and it's a future, but there's also a call for God, from God, to begin to step out and step in. God, what's the next step? What's the first step? Come on, I want to ask the people of God to do something. Would you stand to your feet? If you're physically able, would you stand to your feet? And let's call out to the Lord today to speak to us. Listen, if you come to hear a word from a man, you're going to be disappointed. But if you come with expectation that God will use me and use the others around you and use the worship team and use just everything that he uses to speak to you and encourage you this morning, if you're believing and expecting to hear from him, you will not be sorely disappointed. I believe if your heart is filled with expectation that is faith, expectation that is clothed in faith, if your heart is filled this morning with a hope that God's going to speak into your life, he's going to be faithful. But can we just call out to him and just invite his presence to speak to us and to shine into our hearts and to reveal his heart towards us? Father, in the name of Jesus, and come on, people of God, right there where you are, I'm going to lead us in prayer, but would you just call out to God? Call out to your heavenly Father. Lord, would you speak to us this morning? Would you remind us of some things that maybe we've lost track of or lost sight of? Would you come and encourage us this morning, Lord? Anyone who's here this morning and they're discouraged, Lord, they've lost sight of something. They've lost the faith to walk towards the promises of God for their life in any area of their life. Lord, I pray this morning that you would come by your Spirit and you would encourage them. You would bring courage. You would bring faith. You would bring strength to them in the name of Jesus. Father, we submit and open our hearts to you today, God. We pray that you would speak clearly to us, God. We pray that you would reveal more of your nature, more of your heart, more of your desires towards us, because we know and we're reminding ourselves this morning, you are a good Father and we are your children. And you have good thoughts, good intentions, a hope and a future for every one of us, because we are your sons and we are your daughters. And all God's precious people said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, you can be seated there. I want to talk about four things. I hope I can get to all of them. They all happen to start with the word P. So God's in this. They all start with the same letter. The first one is position. The enemy will come as you're stepping out and you're believing God and you're walking towards the dream and the plan and the vision and the hope that God has for you. The enemy will come and he will try to knock you out of your position. And I've been talking about this the last couple weeks, that before God wants to show you what he's called you to do, what he's called you to be, he wants you to know who you are in him. He came before anything, and bigger than anything that you could ever do for him or with him. He just wants to know you as his child. He just wants to restore you back to a relationship with him. All the sin and the stuff and the cares and the trials of the world that have separated you from him, he's just calling you home. He's a father that's just calling his children home, and he sent Jesus as an invitation. He sent Jesus as your big spiritual big brother to just come and just remind us how much your heavenly Father loves you and say, come home to a relationship. The enemy is always going to try to knock you out of position. And your first place of position is in the presence of God. You must get in the presence of God to discover and know who you are in him, your identity in him. When you really understand your identity in Christ, all that Jesus came and lived and died and was raised again to make possible for you, when you really know that, when you really begin to understand your real, rightful place of sonship, of being a child of God, when you really understand your position, you only then can begin to really grasp your potential. So we've got to spend time in the presence of God. It's not a religious task. It's an invitation to get in the presence of the one who created us. It's an invitation to spend time with the one who made you and knows his heart and his plans and his thoughts towards you. What better way to find out about something than to spend time with the one who created it? That picture that we put up there, you might be just old enough where they didn't have that technology. But how many of you know that you were in that place? God knew and he saw, just like the psalmist was writing. He knew what he was doing. He knew that he was creating you for a purpose. Come on, people of God. Every one of us is created on purpose for a purpose. You need to just settle it. But you've got to spend time in the presence of your heavenly Father. Or else the enemy will fill the void with lies and deceptions. You got to spend time in the presence of God. You've got to spend time in his word. The word of God is the GPS for your life. And the Holy Spirit is amazing, and we need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I just think it's so cool that God is seeking worshipers who worship him in spirit and in truth. And there's a black and white written account. There's a love letter that God sent and wrote to you. There's a blueprint for the life and the plans and the heart that he has towards you. That's unshakable and unchanging. And how many know, in the midst of a culture that is decaying, in the midst of a culture that is questioning the reality of God, and in a culture that is opening itself up to all kinds of different beliefs and solutions to the problems that only Jesus can answer, I'm glad that there's a written black and white account of God's heart towards me that I can always run to. You got to spend time in the presence of God to learn about who he's made you to be. Listen, there's a difference between knowing about someone and knowing them. I know about a lot of people, you know, but there's I know a lot about President Donald Trump, but I don't know Donald Trump. I know some things about him, but I don't know him. I know a lot about the previous President Barack Obama, but I don't know President Barack Obama, there's a difference between knowing about someone and knowing them intimately. And the call of God to you is to know him intimately. You got to spend time in the presence of God. Listen, you become more like the people that you spend the most time with. You become more like the people that you spend the most time with. Listen, God is calling you to soar like an eagle. And it is hard to soar like an eagle when you run with the turkeys. And you've got to be willing to just take an account and say, who am I allowing to influence me the most? And hear me, I'm talking primarily about spending time in the presence of God, the one who created you and has and knows everything that he created you to do and be. But you also need to be careful about the people that you hang around with. And come on, it's one of the reasons why it's so important and vital to become connected to a life-giving church that believes the written word of God is empowered by the Holy Spirit, because it's an atmosphere where you find hope and you find freedom and you find affirmation for what God's called you to do and be. Be careful who you hang around with. Make a commitment to hang around people that are believing for God's promises in their life. Make a commitment to be around people who are glass half full kind of people. Make a commitment to be around people who will encourage you when you're going through a difficult season, who will build you up when you're down. Listen, you can find people, if you want to find people, you can get off in a ditch and you can find someone to agree with you. You can make a determination about something bad that's going to happen in your life, and it doesn't take much work at all to find people that will easily agree with you and get right down in the ditch with you. Come on, whenever you get in a ditch, you need to look for someone that's walking the high road with Jesus Christ and will pull you out of that place and begin to lift you up back into the place that God has in mind for you. So we got to stay in position. We got to stay in position. And when we're in the position of the presence of God, I'm going to jump around here a little bit this morning. Is that okay? You discover the provision of God for your life. You discover the provision of God for your life. Listen, one of the greatest things that set me free is just realizing that the voice of the enemy that I hear that comes to tell me that I'm not enough to do what God's called me to do, one of the greatest things that set me free is when I just realized it was okay for me to just agree with that. In my own strength, in my own flesh, I am not enough to do and be what God's called me to do and be. The only way to accomplish the call of God on my life in every area of my life, as a pastor, as a communicator, as a husband, as a father, as a friend, the only way for me to accomplish and fulfill the heart of God for that area is to be completely reliant and dependent upon God and the Holy Spirit. It's okay to just say, you know what, devil, you're right. I'm not enough, but I know one who is. And I'm connected to him every day, and I'm spending time in his presence. And it's him that's bringing me strength, and it's him that's making a way, and it's him that's providing me with the provision that I need to fulfill the call of God upon my life. Listen, God, when we submit and we surrender what we already have in our hand, it releases the anointing for increase. God has a track record of doing miracles with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes that were jacked out of a young boy's lunchbox. He can take, when you take what you have in your hand, when you realize that you're not enough, but what you have is what God intends to use. Because see, otherwise you'll always find yourself in this place that says, when I get this, when I have this, when they call me, when that person, whatever it is, you'll always find yourself in this position of perpetual frustration and delay because you don't recognize that what God's already put in you, what God's already given you, the people he's already put in your life, the church that he's already connected you to, the way he's already spoken to you, the finances you already have, the job that you already have, the title that you already have, and you don't need a title to get after the work of God in your life. In fact, that's what Rev City is all about, is the people of God becoming this amazing, that the church would be an epicenter for revival, that what happens in this place then goes out and begins to impact the world. You and you and you and you and you can have far more impact than just me behind the four walls of this church. What you have in your hand, what you have in your hand is enough for what he's calling you to. If you surrender it and you submit it to God and you say, God, I may not be this and I may not be that and I may not have this and I may not have that, but here's who I am and here's what I have, and I'm reporting for duty. And I'm asking you to breathe upon like you did in the days of old what I have and begin to multiply it for your kingdom glory and for your purposes so that the multitudes will be fed by what you've already done in my life. The pathway to the new, the pathway to the next, the pathway to the more of God is always faithfulness with what he's already put in your hand. When we spend time in the presence of God, when we remain in our position in God, we understand that he's the provision for our dream. God almost always presents an opportunity. The dream, the vision, the plan, the hope, the thing that he has for you almost always is revealed as an opportunity. You know, I was thinking about David. And you guys know the story, and especially for time's sake this morning. By the way, I'll give up as much time as I need to from my message to see precious people be baptized like we've been seeing the last few weeks. Amen. As I was preparing for my message, I was thinking about David, and I'll just paraphrase. You guys know the story. You know, David was at home. He was tending the sheep. His brothers were out on the battlefield, you know, and Goliath, this great champion of the Philistines, was standing, and he was mocking God, and he was crying out across the battle lines and mocking the people of God and mocking God, and the people of the army were shrinking back and holding back. Goliath was speaking out and intimidating the people of God, and David was back at home tending the sheep. And you guys remember this. This is a part of the story we tend to overlook. We're all familiar with the idea that David went and he slayed the giant, you know. He went and did the thing that other people were shrinking back and holding back from stepping out in faith to do. But here's what we often miss in this story. The only reason that David was there was because he embraced the opportunity to serve. He didn't wake up that morning saying, today's the day that people finally realize that my brothers are cowards and I am courageous and I'm going to go and slay the giant in the way that they are afraid and won't do. He woke up and he was faithful with the call of God on his life. He was faithful to do the things that God had put in his hand. He was faithful to tend the sheep. And his dad came and his dad said, David, would you go and would you check on your brothers? And would you take this bread and would you take these cheeses? He was basically delivering pizza. And he said, would you take it? And would you give it an account from your brothers? Would you find out how they're doing? And David was faithful. And it's interesting to me, and I'm paraphrasing, but you can go back and study it for yourself. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And he went and he made provision so that the flock was taken care of. It says that he went and appointed a shepherd to stay in his place. He didn't just lay down the responsibility. He ensured that the thing that God had put in his hand was going to be cared for while he accepted the assignment and the opportunity to serve. And then he took the bread and he took the cheese and he went, he delivered it to his brothers. And it's then and only then that he encountered the atmosphere that would connect him to the potential and the promise of God for his life. And some of you feel like you're just delivering bread. You're a pizza delivery boy in God's kingdom. And I'm telling you, when you're faithful to just keep delivering and doing the things that God's put in your hand and the opportunities and the invitations that he's given you to serve, you present yourself to the atmosphere to discover and fulfill and realize the call of God and the promise of God for your life. There's giants that God's called you to take down. But in this season, you're just serving faithfully behind the scenes and waiting for the time when God calls you out on that stage. And when he does call you out on that stage, because you've been faithful to do what God's put in your hand, because you've learned to slay the lion and the bear when they were attacking the sheep, there'll be courage in your heart to step into the real thing that God's called you to. And that takes me to one, I don't know if I'm going to have time to get to all four, but that takes me to the third P, and that's process. Process. God's dream, God's promise, God's plan for you almost always includes a process. And here's where we get uncomfortable. You know, we like Burger King's slogan, you know, like we want it our way, and we like it right now. We live in a microwave culture, you know, and God's a crock pot kind of a God. And he cares too much about the flavor and everything that he's building into your life to just microwave your destiny. And a lot of us, again, we want it right now, we want it our way, and God's saying, there's a process. God, you know what? God cares too much about the ultimate thing that he's called you to and the way that it affects your life and those around you to allow you to fast forward and cut corners and skip steps. He cares more about your character than he does about your calling. Because if he delivers you to the calling without forming and shaping and fashioning your character, the calling can actually destroy you. And so we need to realize that the delay might be divine. The assignment to be in the fields, the assignment to be the pizza delivery boy in God's kingdom might be part of the process that God's leading you through to prepare you for the promise of God. God cares more about your character than he does your calling. Because when you enter into the calling, he wants you to be able to sustain the weight of that calling. Proverbs 18:16 says that a man's gifts make room for him. And that's true, but can I encourage you? It's the character of a man that qualifies him to remain in the calling. It's the character of a man. While your gifting might make might open a door for you, it's the character that God's developed in you behind the scenes that will qualify you to remain in that place. God wants to do something in your life, but he digs deep. God digs deep in your life. God builds foundations in your life. God digs deep before he builds high. He wants to build high in your life, but right now, maybe some of what you're feeling, this sense of frustration, this sense of God kind of pressing you or whatever, maybe it's not even the enemy. Maybe it's God putting you through something because of what he knows he wants to prepare you and lead you into. God wants to build your character. How do you treat people? How do you handle success? These are three questions that I want to ask you. How do you treat people? How do you handle success? That deals with the humility that God wants to build into your life before he opens the door into the promise of God for your life. Do you deal with integrity? What does integrity mean? It means, are you the same when no one's watching as you are when you're on the platform? And it's so encouraging to me that Jesus was the perfect example and the model of integrity. He came down from heaven where he had all this authority and he was right beside the Father, and the Father sent him as the invitation to the earth to be restored back to relationship. And Jesus, the Bible says, experienced every temptation that's common to man, and he sinned not. He lived the same way here as he did in heaven. There was integrity in his heart. He modeled that life for us. And if what he came and did, He modeled something that's possible for you and me, because he was a man. He laid down every right. He laid down the deity that he experienced in heaven. And he came and lived as a man who was connected to the presence of God. He stayed in the position of God so that he could walk into the promise of God and the purpose of God for his life. God's doing something in your life. Come on, I didn't know this is where we would park or where we would land this thing, but I just believe it's the Holy Spirit, because I think there's some people this morning who have been frustrated. You've experienced delay in some area of your life. Maybe it's in a relationship or a desire to have a relationship, or maybe it's in a dream in your heart, or maybe it's in stepping out and into something, or maybe it's in something you believe God's called you to, or a promotion you believe God has for you. And you've experienced a frustration because of a delay, and I'm here to encourage you this morning that oftentimes delay is divine. God knows something that he's calling you to, and he's just shaping and preparing. Is it possible that there's some things that God knows that he wants to call you to that are so much greater? Maybe Ephesians 3, verse 20, he wants to do more than you've asked, thought, or imagined in such a way that he just knows he's got to build a bigger foundation than what you thought you needed. He's just got to take a little bit more time in the things that are going to eventually be unseen, so that what is eventually seen by people as they see the hand of God moving in your life can support. So the thing that is unseen can support the weight of what will eventually be seen. You know, when we buy a house, we bought a few. There's things that we can easily see about the house, whether we like them or not. But then we hire an inspector to come who has special expertise and who digs a little bit deeper. And he comments on the things that we cannot see. And too many times we focus on the things that we can see. We focus on the temporal things. We focus on the external things. We focus on just kind of the exterior things. When God cares more about the foundation of something, when God is digging deep in your life because he knows what he wants to build. And we get that analogy. We hire someone to come and make a comment and say, how's the foundation? Are there cracks in the foundation? And do you understand that the paint and the drapes that they're willing to leave in the house, that style will change, and those things can easily be changed. The thing that matters most as it determines whether or not it's a sound investment is, what's the foundation look like? What's the foundation look like? So, Lord, this morning, I just thank you for speaking into this. And I believe that there's a couple of groups of people that God wants to minister to. One, if you're realizing today that there's an area of your life where you're experiencing frustration, there's an area of your life where you're experiencing pain. Listen, sometimes God created some things certain ways. When there's something that's causing pain, a lot of times he's trying to make you aware of something that needs attention. When there's an area where you feel frustration, where you feel pain, there's an area that God's just saying, hey, I'm calling you back to this place. I'm calling you back to this place. I want to build out. I want to reshape. I want to strengthen the foundation in this place. So if there's an area in your life, if there's a relationship in your life where you're experiencing pain and frustration, perhaps God is today just coming and he's just saying, you know what? I want to visit that area. I want to invade that area, and I want to begin to strengthen and I want to begin to repair the foundation that's in that place so that you can begin to walk into a new season of fulfillment, a new season of promise, a new season of blessing. And perhaps this morning you would realize that there's an area of character in your life that the Holy Spirit needs to come and needs to begin to shape and sharpen in your life. And if either one of those things is true for you, I just want to ask you to just respond to God. Come on, we're a family this morning. And I just want you to just stand. Just stand in the presence of God. Come on, don't wait. Just stand. Just say, God, I realize you're reminding me of something that I need to go back and I need to put my focus on. You're reminding me of an area of my life where you want to sharpen and shape my character to prepare me for the promise of God in my life. Come on, this is a good response, man. This is a first step. This is a next step. God is so gracious. He's so good. He knows the things he's called you for, and he cares too much about what he's leading you to allow you to go forward without taking the time to strengthen and prepare you. So, Lord, I just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Right there where you are, people of God, I'm about to pray for you, but just respond to God. Maybe you want to even just hold out your hands in a way like you're either doing one of two things. You're laying something down. You're letting go of something, or you're opening your heart and your spirit to receive from God this morning. And then right there where you are, in your own words, in your own spirit, I don't know what you're up against. I don't know what God's speaking to you about. I don't know the reason that you stood, but God does. And so right there where you are, just do business with God. Just come before a good Heavenly Father who's gracious and merciful. His mercies are new every day. Come before a God who wrote Jeremiah 29:11 and said, I have a plan and a hope and a future for you, and it's a good plan. Come before that God this morning and just open yourself and say, Lord, thank you that you care so much about me, that you're identifying this thing in my life today. Thank you, Lord, that I'm going to begin to draw my strength in this area from you. Thank you, God, I'm going to begin to draw my revelation from your word. Thank you, God, that I'm going to begin to live this out differently. Thank you, God, that I'm going to begin to walk this out differently. Thank you, God, that I'm going to begin to take the opportunities that you've currently put in my hand. Thank you, God, that I'm going to take the provision that you've put in my hand. Thank you that I'm not going to despise who you made me to be and the position of life you've called me to and the people you put around me. I'm going to begin to see them as the blessing of God, the provision of God for the promise of God in my life. I'm going to begin to, as I dream big, begin to just be faithful and diligent to walk out. Lord, thank you for keeping us humble. Thank you for keeping us humble. I just sense that some people stood because of just an area, an issue of pride. And God today is just coming and he's just healing. He's just shining his light on it. He's helping you to just understand that everything that you are and desire to be is all going to happen because of him. It's not because of you. Thank you, Lord, for helping us be humble. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening us in any area, Lord, where we need to be strengthened to step into the promise of God in our life. And then I want to close by, before we praise, and I want to just give you the opportunity to take the most important first step of all time. And that is today, if you're here and you're far from God, whether you've known him at one time or maybe today you've never known what it means to live in a life-giving relationship with your Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. If that's you today, the most important thing we do today as a church family is give you the opportunity to respond in faith to the invitation that is Jesus. The invitation that God sent to come back to him, to know him in this amazing life-giving way, in a way that covers your sin and heals you of your shame and releases you of the condemnation of the enemy and gives you a fresh start on life, the kind of life that the Bible refers to as being born again. Come on, if that's you this morning, I want you to stand to your feet and lift your hand towards heaven. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but there's something about responding to the call of God, responding to the invitation of God. If that's you this morning, stand to your feet and just lift your hand high towards God. You're not responding to a preacher. You're responding to your Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus, for these precious people. Thank you, God, for the work that you're doing in their life. Thank you, God, for the newness of life that they're experiencing today. Thank you, Lord. Right there, if that's you this morning, in fact, I want us all to just say this simple but profound prayer. So would you all, as a church family, just support these precious people in repeating this after me. Father, in Jesus' name. Come on, church, say it with everything you've got. This is a good thing for us to remind ourselves about every week. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for making a way to forgive my sins, to heal my heart, to make me new in Jesus Christ. I make you, Jesus, Lord of my heart, Lord of my life. Come and have your way. I surrender my life and my future to you. Thank you, God, that you have a good plan for me in Christ Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, put your hands together for those lives that were changed today. Thank you, Lord.